Fred Film Radio.
Okay, this is Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, reporting from the UK Jewish Film Festival, and I'm joined here today by Paul Morrison, the director of Solomon and Gaynor, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary with a screening here. So, Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Maybe you could just start by talking us through the film itself. For people who aren't familiar with it, perhaps, what was the premise of the film?
Well, it's a love story set in 1911, when there were anti-Jewish riots in the Welsh Valleys. The Jews had settled in the Welsh Valleys as sort of peddlers and small shopkeepers, and at the end of a long strike there were anti-Jewish riots, and in the context of that, this is a love story across the divide. So it's a chapel girl and a Jewish boy fall in love, and that's the beginning of the saga.
And what was the original inspiration for this film?
I did a documentary series for Channel 4 about Jewish identity, British Jewish identity, and I came across the story of these riots, and I thought, well, that's a great background for a movie. So, and what can I set against this harsh background but a very tender love story? And that was the origin.
Perhaps, you know, it was an interesting one because maybe people aren't so familiar even that there were these Jewish people that had gone to Wales in the valleys. You know, did you feel like you were uncovering and sort of educating people about this
community? Absolutely, yeah. It felt like it was new ground to be trodden, yeah, and a new story to be told. But also it's a very classical story. And it was my first feature film, so it was terribly exciting and thrilling to be making it. And then it got nominated for an Oscar, so that was even more thrilling and exciting and very hard to follow up.
And talking of that nomination, I mean, what was that experience like for you, and especially it being your first feature film?
Yeah, well, it was...
No one dreams of that.
It was a dream, but as long as you take it with a pinch of salt and tongue-in-cheek and so forth, and just enjoy it for what it was. But it was fantastic.
Yeah. And I guess that can kind of propel your film, and, you know, it can reach many more audiences from having that kind of nomination and having that exposure.
Well, it is really special. What's really special is the way this film has hung around, and it still seems to find an audience, and people still seem to resonate with it. It feels like... and it still sells around the world, so I felt like I'm very proud of it. Like I touched a chord, you know.
And, you know, thinking about it being the 20th anniversary, being here at the UK Jewish Film Festival, what does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, as Maureen said, Maureen Littman, who's in the film, we're going to just compare crow's feet to start with and see how we've all aged in 20 years. But, yeah, it means a lot. You know, the film screened at the festival 20 years ago when it was just a tiny festival, based in Brighton. And now the festival's expanded enormously, and the film is going to 10 cities. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful affirmation, and great to know that people are still seeing it and still getting something out of it.
And you've got your screening tonight in Q&A, and you were just mentioning that it's going to reunite, got some of the cast coming. So what's that going to be like for you?
Yeah, it's going to be really special, yeah. The only person who couldn't make it here, really, of the main cast, is Johan Griffith, and he's just sent me a lovely video which we're going to screen with his memories of making the film. But I think it was special for all of us, you know, and somehow, creatively, something magical happened, and so it'd be nice to see if that magic still holds up today.
You know, what do you think the importance is of, you know, the UK Jewish Film Festival existing, and, you know, in the sense of your film kind of giving people a glimpse into the experiences of this very specific community? Like, why do you think that's important to give it that platform?
First of all, it's important because we still, even 20 years later, don't see many Jews represented on the screen, you know. I mean, on the whole, there are Holocaust stories and there's Israel, you know. But for British Jews to see their own story reflected, it's still very, very rare. So it's very special to see a whole bunch of films that affirm our own identity. And then for non-Jews, there's a lot to discover, and a lot of excitement in seeing films that you wouldn't see anywhere else.
Mm. And where do you see that, you know, in terms of the position of Jews in the UK? In some ways you might have seen progress, but it also feels like we're in a quite odd moment now with sort of accusations of anti-Semitism within the Labour Party, etc., etc. Some of the, you know, Jewish MPs getting a hard time. Where do you think we are in terms of, you know, accepting and having tolerance and, you know, having a great diversity in our country and everyone being, you know, feeling welcome here?
I think we're in a scary time and we're at a pivotal point. I would hate to think that we're going to revert to being a narrow nationalistic kind of country that's not open to minorities, including ourselves, and that's not open to difference, you know, to celebrating differences. And London is really different, you know, from other parts of the country. And and this is a film about anti-Semitism, you know, and within the film you see how within the chapel going community in South Wales a lie gets told and retold and retold until it becomes believed as the truth, and we see that going on now, and it's frightening. And that somehow the tenor of public debate has become debased, and there is a rise in anti-Semitism, there's a rise in all kinds of hate crime, and we have to stand up to it.
And do you think that actually cinema can be an amazing way to broaden people's perspectives, perhaps recognise where they might have their own prejudices and so on and so forth, you know, in a way that it's not kind of a straightforward kind of educational tool, but actually through the arts we can kind of open people's minds?
Yeah, well, it would be nice to think that you could do that in a small way, yeah. And that that film can touch people's hearts in a way that other media can't necessarily. That's what film is best at. Hopefully my film can do a little bit in reaching people in that way.
Mm. One of the things that I was curious about is, you know, you filmed it in Welsh and in English, right? So you've got lots of different languages. How was that super complicated? And why did you want to do that?
Well, it was important to me that the Welsh family spoke Welsh, which would have been their language, and that the Jewish family spoke Yiddish, which would have been their language. And then with the lovers, we had to film all those scenes twice. We filmed them in English and again in Welsh, because there was a Welsh version for Welsh Channel 4, S4C, and there was an English version for English distribution. So. So it was complicated, but it worked. And, you know, I had Johan and Nia, and, you know, they were lovely young actors and they had the brain power to do the job. But they had to, you know, play all their love scenes twice, you know, in two different languages.
And what about in terms of the other films that are, you know, represent Jewish communities? You know, do you have any others that you think really stand out for you and are really important to... this kind of canon, if you like.
Blimey. I got a film I want to make.
Yeah?
I got a film which is based on my own story as a Jewish kid, as a Jewish student. I drove to Russia in 1964 at the height of the Cold War, and it was a sort of both a journey of return. And it was a sort of, because me and my friends had our guitars with us, it was also a kind of rock and roll journey. And we played a gig at this socialist youth festival. And we also visited the sort of where our ancestors came from. So that's my next movie, Leningrad Gig, if anybody's got £3 million.
Sounds amazing, I want to watch it. And what about the other work that you've done since this film, like Little Ashes, for example? You know, what do you think has driven your decisions in terms of filmmaking, and what have been some of the highlights for you?
Well, I always seem to want to make films about people who get together despite their differences somehow. But that's overcoming difficulty. And my film Wondrous Oblivion, which followed on from Solomon and Gaynor, was about a Jewish family living in South London, and the first Afro-Caribbean family to move into the street moves in next door to them. The Jewish kid loves cricket, but his parents say to him, you know, whatever you do, you know, don't go next door, the neighbours will be upset, kind of thing. And, but of course, then the West Indian dad builds a cricket net in the background, back garden, and the kid has to go next door. So that's a kind of, it's a comedy and a it's a dramedy. But it's also a story about reaching across the divide.
And just sort of finally, you know, we're talking about the current situation here in the UK, how important it still is to have these films. Do you feel hopeful for the future? Do you feel we're in very divisive times? Do you hope? Do you see?
I swing between hope and complete utter despair on a daily basis. but it matters to me. You know, I'm a political animal, and it matters to me. I've just finished a film with Alison Steadman and Dave Johns about two older people who meet walking their dogs and fall in love. And that, they go through some turbulent times, but it ends up being a hopeful film. So I guess at core, I'm a hopeful person.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with us. And I've been Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.